Okay, Boker Tov. All right, 151. Here we go. For example, take a person. Let's just jump into the example. For example, take a person who leaves his home with the intention of going to the wedding ceremony of a friend. The chuppah is called for 6 o'clock. When he walks toward the bus stop, he sees the bus pulling away. The more he wanted to be at this wedding, and the closer he is to his friend, the more upset he will be about missing the bus. The opposite is also true. The weaker his desire to attend that wedding, the less concerned he will be about his not being able to be there on time. Same applies here. The weaker one's desire to be close and attached to the Creator, if it is only an intellectual decision, so the less he will fear sin. Right? If he doesn't care so much, then he won't care so much. There's a fundamental difference between knowledge in the mind and of the heart. Anyone who studies the Ramchal knows that the purpose of life is closeness to Hashem, like we've learned right in the beginning of Mesil Sasharim, Kirvus El Kimli Tov. The whole Sefer is based on that. People usually forget that and go to the next topic, when in fact that's the major topic that has to be, you know, taken with you on the journey to Mesil Sasharim. So everybody knows that the Ramchal knows, anyone who studies the Ramchal knows that the purpose of life is closeness to Hashem, and that sin prevents one from reaching this goal. It's ma'akif. But this might be only intellectual knowledge, which cannot inspire fear. Fear, which is definitely emotional, it comes from intellect. Fear comes from an understanding, like we were talking about. Fear comes from yira, comes from re'iya, to be able to see, but to be able to perceive, to be able to understand, which comes from bina. But it does have to come down to a certain emotional level. And we know, and we've discussed many times in the Sefer, that a person could go intellectual, thinking that he has it, thinking that he's a big ma'amin, which on one level he is a ma'amin, even if it's just in his mind. He is considered a ma'amin, but it won't always help him at the time of need, when he really needs to be able to bring it out, and there's something that's paining him, right, that becomes emotional, when he's stressed, when there's something more than just on paper intellectual. Like, it's not just a question, do you believe in God? Yes. Okay, good. You can answer that question for sure. But when a situation arises, we know that evokes emotions, stress, all these types of things. The emunah that you have on paper is just not going to work. And that's, people might not understand that. They might not believe that. I mean, we have been learning the Sefer for a while. We do understand that. We're working on it. And therefore, we need the intellectual knowledge to turn into a heartfelt knowledge. That's what it's called, das. So a person's avoda, and therefore by fear as well, everything, from devekis, emuna, bitachon, a person's avoda is to ensure that his heart desires to be close and attached to Hashem. And I believe in a Kaddish Baruch Hu, but does a person say, I want to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu? That already, now already bring it down to the heart. Not everybody says such things. I think a person can go his whole life and never say such words, that I really want to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Even though they'll say those words in davening sometimes, and they'll learn it, you know, in the Gemara sometimes it says, but they don't actually do it, right? But just because it says it on paper doesn't mean that a person is doing it. We have to remember that. Even though we read something, that doesn't mean we did it. We think it's true, we believe it, it's awesome, great, but it still doesn't mean you did it. Like, there's a big difference. I learned that many times in my own life, just because I read it.
Because you daven doesn't mean you daven.
Right.
Scary.
So you didn't. I always like to be positive as much as possible. Yes, you did daven. You said the words, but did you daven? Did you connect? There's what to build. Each one of us on our own way. So a person's avoda, and if he's going to get stressed out, you know, to deal with that. I don't know. A person's avoda is to ensure that his heart desires to be close and attached to Hashem. He should be thinking about these things. This doesn't just happen. The more this idea penetrates into the heart, the more one will fear sin. Fearing sin, again, not the punishment. We're not discussing that now. We're fearing that thing that will prevent us from connecting to Kaddish Baruch Hu or losing the madrega that we were at with him. That's the that was earlier, but that's what we're talking about here. Shlemus. Tevekis, Shlemus. The more this idea penetrates into the heart, the more one will fear sin, which is the very thing that hinders the goal of closeness and Tevekis to Hashem. And it's definitely much easier that if you've ever tasted a closeness, you've ever tasted a madrig of dvegas, not a momentary dvegas, where people have felt, you know, during a davening once, during a yomtiv, people have felt that something that is, has lasted. There's a level that you've hit in the Indian of Deveikus. When if you've connected, you've felt that, and you know that there, you know that it's a level, and then you say, one second, but chait takes me away from that, right? It's going to drop me down from that feeling. I don't want to lose that. Right? So you have to be cognizant, to be thinking about these things. But again, momentary deveikus, it's not going to register enough on the scales that they're able to say, I'm going to lose this madriga. You can know intellectually that sin will not let you get to deveikus, but that only goes so far. To further illustrate, there are many people who know that it's very important to study all of the entire Talmud, all of Gemara. Yet, they waste so much time precisely because this knowledge is only in their minds. Right? You could ask 1,000 Jews. You think it's Kedai to learn Gemara and to finish Shas? Of course. So he raised your hand. Who's on the way? It might be a small amount. That's everything in life. It is not their heart's absolute desire. They don't really want to. Their hearts are filled with many other desires. So a person must reach a state in which his whole heart will yearn for nothing but closeness and connection to Hashem, to the extent that he will think about this for the major part of the day. It's floating around in the subconscious that it'll come. No, but I mean, I want to just say that, like, of course, you have to work, you have to be normal, but it should be popping up. Like, even during the day, what we want to do is we want to bring that in. Even when a person's working, you could bring in amuna, we know that. Okay, you have to make a phone call. Kadosh Baruch Hu, I know you're the one who decides. Help me out. Even these little things, they're not little, they're huge. You do that again and again and again. Okay, and something good goes, something quote unquote not good happens. Okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu, and this is your will, I surrender to your will. Bring him into everything, because he is everything. And you do, if I would ask you, a person would, something good would happen at work. Okay, and he just would be going weiter, like he always does. And I would stop him and say, wait, sir, do you believe that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is the one who decided that should happen? He would say, of course, because he's a mammon on paper. So when you ask him, he can answer the test, say, yes. I'll say, so then think about that. Meaning, so do that. Don't just leave it in your brain that if it's in your brain, it's called bakoach, it's called potential. It's very nice that you're mammon in potential, which is true. So if someone asks you a test, if you go upstairs to Shemaim and they say, do you believe? Yes. Because then they're asking you to bring from your potential into your actual. That's great. But wouldn't it be better if you lived, actualized the moon all the time to bring out? You have a kid, you have anything. You have a kid who's, you have special glasses that tell you the insides of this kid. And you say that this kid is an amazing guitar player. You say to the kid, you ever play guitar before? He's like, no, never play guitar. But you see with the glasses that the kid's an amazing guitar player. So you say to the kid, you want to play guitar? He's like, actually, yeah, I do. I have this sense that I really would want to play. So then you say to him, so then why aren't you playing? I don't know. I never got around to it. So you see the potentials in there. And of course, that shows that he if you ask him, yeah, I would like to play. But he just never, it wasn't enough at first. So you say, here's a lesson, here's a guitar. Oh, then he blows up.
Also, he's a kid. So it's like desires are fleeting.
So we're also kids, because as long as our heart is not into it, the head, although it knows a lot, it's immature. Right? It's like a super genius that's immature. When it gets to the heart, then you're a super genius with maturity. Right? Because a person could know everything, but then still, like, lose himself at work and go crazy and yell at people like a baby. That's because it's here and not here. Right? Once it's here and you're in control, then you're in control. So we want to know, everybody's a mom and b'nai mamina. We all are. So we all have the potential. But we want to be able to bring that out. So bring it out. We have every opportunity, every single day, you can take a breath. There's so many opportunities every single moment, whether it's learning, whether it's davening, whether it's just being conscious of it, aware. Every moment is an opportunity for emunah. Like we said from the altar, right? If water is nimshal tamayim, and you need water more than anything else, you need air even more than water, and emunah is nimshal to air. Because everywhere you breathe, I mean, Torah is, you know, you're limited. I mean, Torah, you can go everywhere. You can even take little pockets for them to work. You can even be thinking about divrei Torah on the train. But sometimes you can't. Sometimes you're actually working. Sometimes you're actually doing other things. You can't. But emunah, you could do emunah with everything else. What could you not do? You could be on the phone in a deep conversation at work and say, Kadosh Baruch, you're with me. Done. You're a mom. Actualized. You don't need to be saying a vart in your head. You don't need to be doing anything crazy. It's just the cognitive, whatever. Give me some words here. Consciousness, the awareness that there's a creator and he's here with me right now. Done. Seconds, not even nanoseconds. And you do that again and again and again. You start to build that web in your brain of emunah, and then you start to live in that. Right? Like the Alter Rebbe says, very, very important. See, the Alter Rebbe, did you ever learn Tanya? So he says, I think in Perek Daled about Torah, something that which in the brain sciences they're getting to, is that he says that when a person's learning Torah, and he's learning again, he's chazring again, so he's, let's say he's learning, Reuven is lending money to Shimon. In the Gemara, but Metzian is... So at first he says, when you're learning it, it's the information is in your brain. Okay? Right? There's you, and then you're thinking about Torah. He says, but at a certain point, after you think it again and again and again, when it goes from Chochmah to being into Das, so then your brain actually enters into the Torah. It flips around. It goes inside out. You know, once you make enough, you know, I guess, connection points, so then it flips around, then you're so enmeshed in it, you become like then zoned in, like, I don't know, there's probably some words to that. Or it flips around, you're not thinking about it anymore, you're in it.
It's not outside of you anymore.
It's not outside of you, it's a part of you. That's what you want. That's what you want with Amunah. Keep thinking about it, but actively, again, not just once a day. That's like boiling an egg. And then, how long it takes to boil the egg? 18 minutes? So you take it out of the 15?
Whoa. It's a long time.
Okay, how long?
13 minutes.
13 minutes, okay. So like every day, after 10 minutes, you turn off the...
Egg starts turning green, it's not a good situation.
What would it be after in like 8 minutes, you turn off. And the next day, you turn again for 8 minutes. And the next day, you turn on for 8 minutes. Would it ever boil? I don't know if it would ever boil.
We can't grow ourselves.
It would be also gross.
That egg's going to go bad.
It's going to go bad. So it's more, you need to go 18 minutes straight. You need to be working on these things enough.
Matzah.
You're really into the food muscle, I see. Everybody's got their thing that they connect to.
That's why it's good to have signs that work.
That's why he says, take out of your pocket, kirvus ulekim litov.
Honestly, I made alarms on my phone.
You did it.
We could bring our cards back.
You have to, like, see the card. Here, it's automatic, and you're always on your phone.
So you have to, it does, but you have to, it can't just be, but make sure, that's a bit tough. See, what happens with these cards is that, this is the document of the brain. You have this card. Now, you know what this card says, okay? So if I have this card sitting here all day, I could trick myself thinking that I'm paying attention to it when really, I know what it says, so I think I looked at it, I just know what it says. Like, I don't need to look at it because I already know what it says. But then you didn't do it. You actually need to take it for a second.
I have a little cover you have to take off,
right? You cover the blue so they can't even see it. No, because that's what happens. We did it a lot. You could think that you actually did the thing, but you didn't do the thing because you knew the thing. And we trick ourselves a lot. Okay. All right, let's. Did we finish this paragraph? Oh, no, we didn't. Okay, let's finish up. Huh? His bodhis? His bodhis. What? Yeah, you could learn a swarm of his bodhis. You could say thank you Hashem a few times a day and think you did his bodhis, but you didn't. Okay, so again, let's just read this paragraph through fast. I say that, but who knows if that's true. To further illustrate, there are many people who know that it is very important to study the entire Talmud, yet they waste so much time precisely because this knowledge is only in their minds. It is not their heart's absolute desire. And they could, that's the thing, they could think by talking about it, they're doing it. Do you have what I'm saying? I don't know.
Yeah.
Everybody's done this, and some people are really, it's sad. I've spoken to these people. My heart goes out to them. I can't tell them. I feel bad. They'll talk about learning.
again and again, I really need to learn the Sefer. I really need to learn this. They'll say it for years. Never actually have learned the thing. But they'll think, I'm not saying bad, I'm just saying what the reality is, that they'll think that because they're talking about it, because they, you know, they heard an inspiring schmooze about learning, and they'll talk about it, but they never start. So in a certain way, they think that they're doing it, but they don't even realize, but you're not doing it. How do you not see that you're not doing it? But okay, teach their own. I don't know.
Are those all the same personalities?
What?
Those that talking about doing it.
Are they the same
person? Have you noticed that? Assuming this is not just one person you're talking about.
These are people who are not grounded. It's the talk is cheap type of people. It's whatever. There's different types of people that go through this. Their hearts are filled with many other desires. Now their heart is filled with a desire to do that. It's just that.
I mean, they have a rotzon.
Or
is it not a real rotzon?
I wouldn't even call. Either you call it a rotzon, but there's 50 other rotzonos,
sure.
Or it's not really a rotzon. It's I'm not analyzing each person.
Ron says somewhere interesting. I don't know if it's in the same way, but he said you can only have one rotzon at a time.
Right, so that's where you have to be careful. You're talking very, very technical rotzon. You're talking not so technical rotzon, meaning in the Kesser, Dicker rotzon. That's where you have to. Every word is always.
I guess it comes down to this because, like, I have a desire to learn a safer. If you didn't go to learn a safer, it means that she says the Bavali says there's a desire coming in. It means that desire that you thought you had wasn't really a desire. You had something else that is in that point of rotzon that is now and was. Before this.
Yeah. A person must reach a state in which his whole heart will yearn for nothing but closeness and connection to Hashem. That's what we want to get to bring out that rotzon, which is just one thing. So to the extent that he will think about this for the major part of the day, right? And not money or not other things. He will then try to remove any obstacle and he will fear sin properly. Not punishment, sin. Hence, there are three stages. Number one, a person must know that the whole purpose of his life is to be close to Hashem. That's the first half of the Sefer. This knowledge must fill his heart and become his greatest longing, which is the first half and the second half of the Sefer. He must know that sin blocks him from this goal. That's what we're talking about now with the Yira. Right. A life process, continually working.